Good afternoon, and welcome once again to Stage Talk. I'm Steve Hunt, your host once again. Glad to have you along on this Friday afternoon. Today we continue our series of looking at upcoming seasons from performing arts groups in the area. And today I'm glad to have on Reed Smith, who is the general director of Anchorage Opera. He's here to tell us about their exciting season they've got coming up next year, the 2017-2018 season, which has the title of Happily Ever After, kind of a theme that runs through the pieces they have chosen. So welcome once again to the show, Reed.
Great to be here.
It's always great to have you on the show talking about the season, and also you come by and talk about individual shows and so forth. And one thing I've noticed about Anchorage Opera, especially I think from last year when you had Hope and Glory, is that you're stretching the boundaries. You always have, but it seems like this season as well, you're kind of stretching some of the boundaries of what some people might consider to be typical opera, because you've got some shows that are kind of opera, some shows which are kind of something else. We'll talk about this specifically. Is that a conscious decision on your part to try to branch out from what people typically think of opera?
Yeah, I think that people want a variety. And, you know, I get stopped on the street and say, why aren't you doing something different? And I get stopped on the street and say, why are you doing something different? So we try to fill all gaps and provide people with a variety of operas.
Well, do you ever risk cutting out maybe season ticket holders because you have such a diverse season, or do you actually bring in more people who like maybe on individual tickets?
Yeah. Well, the trend is toward individual tickets, single ticket purchases rather than subscriptions, and this is nationwide. And I think it was a little slower in happening up in Alaska, but now I think we're seeing that as well, that people are waiting to the last minute. They want to make sure that they can make the performance number one, and so we're trying to satisfy people with the variety.
Interesting idea. I know we have so many things going on here in Anchorage. For such a small town, we have a lot of theater, dance, opera going on. It's sometimes a one weekend you can choose between, you know, so many things to go to. So maybe that's what people are doing, are waiting around to find out what exactly they want to go to in that particular weekend. I begin by saying your season title, Happily Ever After, sort of applies to some of your pieces, but you know, some of your pieces are not necessarily happily all the time within the piece. But let's start out with your first piece, which are your first opera, which is more of a traditional opera, Don Pasquale, by Donizetti, opening November 3rd, running 4th and the 5th. Tell us about that opera.
Okay, well, Don Pasquale is a comic masterpiece, and there are some not so happy moments within it, but it ends happily, and it's just a kind of a love story where an older gentleman, Don Pasquale, tries to marry the love of his nephew, but Don Pasquale doesn't know that she's the love of his nephew, and it's all a big complicated plot to get him to reinstate his nephew into his will and bless the marriage of Ernesto and Noreen. Of course, Dr. Malatesta is the baritone that makes all this machination work.
So tell us, go a bit more into that character there. Sounds like a fun character.
Malatesta?
Yes.
Yeah, well, he's kind of controversial in the opera world because people have different takes on whether he's really a nice guy in doing this, of the kind of his heart, or is he kind of not so nice guy trying to make fun of Don Pasquale. But our approach is going to be that he thinks that what's best for Don Pasquale is to not marry at his advanced age a younger woman. And so we're viewing him as doing something that's really, really fine.
So you're casting him in a more favorable light.
Right.
I suppose in the world of opera, as is in theater and dance, you have those choices of actually more of a directorial choice in doing these kind of things rather than the opera being done like a museum piece, don't you?
Yes, you do. Yes, indeed.
So who's going to be working? Who's directing or who's?
Well, David Lefkowitz is coming back. He directed our Carmen two seasons ago, so he's coming back to direct. This will be his first shot at doing Don Pasquale, although he has said on many occasions to me that it is one of his favorite operas. So he's very excited to be doing it. And he likes to take a traditional approach when he's doing an opera for the first time. So we're Kerry Yanagawa is designing the set. Cedar Cousins will be the lighting designer. And they're going to work together to present a wonderful, wonderful opera.
You know, Kerry and Cedar are both very top-notch designers in town here. And Kerry works a lot with the opera and does some incredible sets.
Right. She's actually our charge artist. So all the scenery that's painted, you see on stage, that's her work.
So is this going to be done typically traditionally and with the scenic elements, with the scenic design and lighting and so
yes,
forth?
Yes, pretty much traditional. We are looking at some ways of making it very efficient, so we're probably only going to have one intermission between acts two and three, and the lighting will come into play there to make people realize that, oh, you're not in Don Pasquale's house anymore, you're in Norina's garden, or you're in another garden, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. So it should be exciting.
Comic opera? And it's a little bit of mischievous opera, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think that's brought up some controversy sometimes about this opera from time to time.
In fact, you know, the people I trained with only did this opera once that I know of. And the reason being that the stage director, who is also the voice teacher, just didn't like it when Norina slaps Don Pasquale. It's all out of fun, of course, but he took great offense at that.
Well, I suppose the Anchorage audiences can take that, yeah. We hope. Moving right along, again, I mentioned at the top of the show that Anchorage Opera seems to be breaking out and taking some chances. The second opera you have this year is called As One, performs February the 9th through the 11th. This is taking some chances, isn't it? Tell us about this opera.
Yes, it is. It's a story of a transition, sole protagonist transitioning, and follows her journey through her years at home and growing up in her family and also then college years. And then she ends up in Norway and discovers who she really is. It's a heartwarming story. Anyone who's gone through puberty can relate to this because it's really about discovering who you really are and then embracing that person and being comfortable in your own skin. It's a wonderful piece. Music is very accessible. There are only two characters, Hannah before and Hannah after, and the orchestra is just a string quartet, and they will most likely be on stage and take a part a little bit in the action.
For those just tuning in, we're talking about Anchorage Opera's upcoming season titled Happily Ever After. My guest is Reed Smith, who's the general director of the opera company. We're right in the middle of their discussing their second work, which is called As One. We're finding out it's about a person going through a transition. And this is based on a true story, is it not?
It's based on life experiences of one of the co-librettists, Kimberly Reed, who's also a documentary filmmaker. It's not literal, but there are sections of it that are directly from her experiences. I was given a grant from Opera America to explore this piece, and so I went to Seattle to see it and immediately thought it would be great to bring it up here. It also allowed us to apply for another grant from Opera America and the Ann and Gordon Getty Foundation, called an innovation grant. So with this piece, we're hoping to reach out into the community and various aspects of life in Anchorage so that we can have a real civic impact on the community and spark discussions of equality and justice and those kind of things.
You mentioned before the show that I think Kimberly, you said, was a football quarterback?
Yes. This is a funny story. When I went to Seattle, I set up a lunch with her. And when I do these, I don't study the piece. I don't listen to the music. I want to be like an audience member walking in for the first time. So I scheduled a lunch with her in order to talk to her about the film that she made that goes with this piece instead of scenery. And we had a wonderful time. I came back and started to look into the piece. And that's when I discovered that she was actually a transgender person. We had a lovely, lovely conversation. And turns out she was a quarterback of her high school football team, and she was valedictorian. So it's quite a story in and of itself.
So tell us a bit about the documentary she made.
The documentary that I've been referring to is called Prodigal Sons, and it's a film about her returning to her hometown in Montana. I think it's Montana, and might be Wyoming anyway. And the experiences that she had reintroducing herself to her high school classmates and trying to reconcile what has happened in her life with her stepbrother.
Mm-hmm. So this is, you say, again, going back to the performance style, you have two performers on stage, one before, one after.
Yes, a baritone is Hannah before, and a mezzo-soprano is Hannah after.
So you have a male and a female on stage.
Right.
Interesting. So the transition.
They sing solo, and they also sing together in duets. It's very powerful.
Very powerful with a string quartet.
Yeah.
Sounds exciting.
It is exciting. I mean, we've been working with local groups to enhance the performance with, like we did with Glory Denied in last season, and I think this is going to be something the entire community would be interested in.
I'm sure it's going to bring up a lot of issues that people will discuss as they leave the theater.
Sure, sure.
Perhaps even before they go to the theater. Mm-hmm. Are you having any kind of talkbacks with this type of production?
We will definitely have talkbacks. We are also hoping to have a scripted presentation by a trans male and a trans female before each performance, where they relate some of their experiences in making the transition.
Well, this sounds exciting. Your third piece, again, I mentioned, I'll go back to the beginning, doing different things. You start out with a traditional comic opera, you go to this new modern piece, and then you go to Candide by Bernstein, which is, I mean, I almost directed that as a theater piece one time. It could be done both as, oh, it is kind of theater and opera, isn't it?
Well, it's a strange beast, and people started calling it a musical, but now it's pretty much settled into the term operetta, because it demands a lot of the voice, but it's not grand opera in the sense that everything is sung. So New York City Opera just revised it, and it received great reviews, and we're actually going to be modeling our performance after that version.
Give us a brief background on the story of Candide, because this is based on Voltaire. By the way, I wanted to mention this performs April 7th and 8th of next year. And Bernstein this was a wonderful piece. It's very complicated, too. So if you can boil it down to a few sentences.
Well, to me, it makes no sense whatsoever. But it really takes the audience on a worldwide romp of idealistic optimism, so shall we say. Just a series of unfortunate events happen to the title character, but it all ends up happily. I mean, it's an amazing piece. Following the plot is not so important, just having a good time that evening. I mean, a couple of the characters are actually sheep. So
right, exactly, yeah. And some people might really recognize some of the music from this, because some of the music from this operetta, as you mentioned, has been used in all commercials,
sure,
and all kinds,
sure,
of things.
Probably the most famous aria is Glitter and Be Gay, sung by Kunigunde. And then there's also Make Our Garden Grow. So that's,
right. Anything new production-wise? Is Carrie going to be designing this?
This is going to be with the Anchorage Symphony Orchestra. So the orchestra is going to be on stage, the chorus is going to be on stage, and we're also going to have then some action and costuming and lots of props. And Teresa K. Pond from Cyrano's is directing this.
Well, that ties in the theater aspect, because she's primarily a theater director, although she's worked in opera and musicals. So I can see how this could be a really exciting, dramatic piece. But because people... again, it's a complicated plot line, but it does go all over the place, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And it needs a good director to kind of tie it all together.
Sure, sure.
And putting it together with the orchestra on stage is going to be very, very exciting.
Right.
Bernstein's music has always fascinated me, because he seems to me to be one of those composers that's often, in a way, overlooked. Mm-hmm. For those who know his work, they really, really get into it, but sometimes he's... Can you talk a bit about Bernstein's music?
Well, I think he's probably most known for West Side Story, and which is a fantastic story and really kind of an updated version of Romeo and Juliet. He kind of expanded classical music in a way, first as a conductor and then as a composer as well. So this show we're doing because 2018 is his centennial year, so we wanted to honor him with that.
Sounds terrific. Well, we've been talking with Reed Smith, who's the general director of Opera Anchorage Opera Company, talking about their season coming up next year. They're doing Don Pasquale as one and finishing up with Candide. Thanks a lot for being on the show, Reed.
Pleasure to be here.
Until next time, I'm Steve Hunt for KSKA and Stage Talk.
Stage Talk is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants, do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Learn more about Stage Talk and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.